On song. Would you turn in the Word of God, please, to 1 Samuel and the 22nd chapter, 1 Samuel chapter 22. I just want to read the first two verses this evening, 1 Samuel chapter 22. First Samuel 22 and the verse 1 and 2. David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave Adullam. When his brethren and all his father's house heard it, they went down thither to him. And everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented gathered themselves unto him. And he became a captain over them. And there were with him about 400 men. Amen. And may the Lord bless the reading of this short passage of Scripture to our hearts. I want to speak to you this evening from these verses on gospel lessons from the cave of Adullam. Gospel lessons from the cave of Adullam. But let's briefly ask the Lord to bless the word to our hearts tonight. Father in heaven, we pray that there will be a heart that is waiting, a heart that is fed up with sin, a heart that is fed up with the control and the influence of the devil, a heart, Lord, that is longing for rest and for pardon, for satisfaction and peace. And tonight, Lord, may there be an individual heart that finds all those things in Christ. Bless me now as I preach the word. Please, Lord, give help. Leave us not to ourselves, but fill with the Spirit to preach the unsearchable riches and the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, I ask in His name. Amen. As I have stated at times before, David is a type and a foreshadowing of the Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in a number of ways in his life. He was the shepherd, and Jesus is the good shepherd. As the shepherd, David put himself in danger to save the sheep from the lion and the bear, and the Lord Jesus laid down his life for the sheep to save us from the jaws of the lion. David was the soldier who went down into the valley of blood and slew the Philistine champion. The Lord Jesus is a soldier. He went into battle with the devil, into the valley of blood there at Calvary, and laid down his life to defeat the powers of darkness that held sway over us. David was a great king, the sovereign ruler in Israel. And the Lord Jesus Christ is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But in verse 1 and 2, of 1 Samuel 22, I see another picture, another incident from the life of David that sets forth in type saving lessons from the gospel. And in this place, David again is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, after defeating Goliath, Saul took a fit of jealous rage against David. And he sought to kill him because he saw David as a threat. Can I just stop there for a moment and say to every believer, jealousy is a mark of the flesh, not of the spirit. And if you are afflicted by it, then you pray for grace to overcome it. Because Saul was jealous of the gifts and the graces and the blessing that God had given to David. And I tell you, it led him to a life of bitterness. It led him to a life where he lost God's favor. And it led him ultimately to defeat and death. And God removed him from his position. And he exalted David, the one he was jealous of. And I'm saying to you tonight, dear believer, if there's an ounce of jealousy against another believer in your heart, you get it to the cross and you confess it before the Lord and ask Him to deliver you from it. Because if you don't, like Saul, it will destroy you. And it will mar and ruin your life and your service for the Lord. David's life under threat from a jealous Saul, he fled for his life. First coming to Nob, where he met Ahimelech the priest. From there, he came to Achish, king of Gath. But I think David realized that that wasn't the place for him. And he feigned madness before Achish. And Achish drove him from him. And eventually, he came to lodge in the cave of Adullam. And in Adullam, we see David as the rightful king, rejected and cast out, rejected of men, persecuted by men, having to flee for his life from before the oppressor. And rather than being in the palace, he was in the cave. And yet while he was there in a state of humiliation, he received and he ruled over a band of men who came unto him. And I say that is a picture of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ was born King of Kings, King of the Jews as well. And yet in his first coming, he was despised and rejected of man. He's still being despised and rejected by man in this world. But in his time of humiliation and rejection, those that come to him, he saves and he sustains and he secures and he reigns and he rules over, just as David did. And so David in the cave I see as a picture of Christ. And there are some beautiful lessons in the gospel to learn. I want you to consider, first of all, the people who sought David. Verse 2 sets forth their characteristics, everyone that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. They gathered themselves unto him, and he became captain over them, and there were with him about 400 men. Now, verse 2 sets forth the characteristics of those that came to David. And they present and set forth the characteristics of sinners who look to Jesus Christ for salvation. But before I set them forth in detail, let me point out to you the number. There were about 400 men. Now, as you read the narrative of David's life, you realize it grew to 600. But out of all Israel, those that were under what became the rule of a tyrant, because that's what Saul was in his backslidden state. Out of all those men, and there were only 400 that had had enough of Saul's awful reign and identified with David and identified with the righteous cause and came to him. And that tells me if you're looking to be popular, then you'll not find popularity with Christ. The majority in this world, at this present time, they will not come to Christ. And if you want to be popular with the world, you'll run with them. But if you want to do what is right with God, if you want your soul to be right with God, if you want to be saved from your sin, then you will have to leave the majority of this world that rejects Christ, that renounces Him, that lives contrary to His ways, that despises His offer of salvation. You will have to leave them. And you will have to join the little flock that is the Lord's. And though men will despise you, and men will mock you, and men will pour scorn upon you, you'll have to come and join with David's greater son. You'll have to flee to him. It's often the case in this world that it seems to be the minority are with the Lord. But I want you to notice now their characteristics. There's three things said about them. It tells us each one that was in distress, and everyone that was in debt, and everyone that was discontented. They were distressed, they were indebted to Saul, they were discontent in and at the reign of Saul. They were cast-offs. Doesn't that remind us again of the words of Paul that not many mighty, not many noble are called? God chooses the foolish things of the world. He chooses the weak things of the world. And it's often the common people that come and associate with the Lord in His hour of humiliation when He offers the gospel to sinners. But each one of those little statements, the distressed, those in debt, those that were discontented, they describe the sinner. Let me start with the debt. Every man and woman born into this world is in debt to God. We are in debt to God by our sin. We owe a debt that we cannot pay. And the picture is clear. You know what it means to be in debt. There's a sum that you can't pay. You've worked up a sum. Maybe it's by living beyond your means. Maybe it's by taking some outrageous loan to do something or other. And you've just no means of paying it back. You'll never be able to pay it back. Well, in our sin, we're in debt to God and we cannot pay it back. That's why the Lord Jesus told a parable in Luke 7, 41 and 42. If you want to turn over to it just for a wee minute. Luke chapter 7, 41 and 42. The Lord Jesus, He told a parable. And He said this. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. Two men were in debt to the creditor. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Now one owed a lot and the other owed seemingly a little. One owed 500 pence. It was almost 2 years' salary in those days. The other owed 50. But look at what it says in verse 42, when they had nothing to pay. They were both in debt, one greater than the other, but neither of them had anything to pay. They were debtors to God, debtors to their creditor. And the reason the Lord told that parable was to show you, you're in debt to God. Your sin has left you bankrupt to God. You can never live up to what He intended you to be. You can never pay back the price or the cost of your sin. You have nothing to pay. And my friend, I want you to see that in your sinful state. You could not pay back to God what you owe because of your sin. You're bankrupt. Jesus said He freely forgave them both. That's the message of the gospel. Jesus paid the debt that I could never pay. Wonder tonight, have you realized you are in debt to God by your sin? And there's nothing that you can do to pay that debt back to God. But God is willing to forgive you because Jesus Christ has paid the debt for you at His death on Calvary. We're in debt. Then in 1 Samuel 22, verse 2, we read that they were distressed. Now, in the context of the passage, these men were distressed at the rule of Saul. You know, sin causes men and women great distress. Sin causes distress in life and in death. In life, it brings the distress of guilt. Have you ever felt yourself guilty before God? You know there are things you do, things you have said and thought and done, and they're contrary to God's word and God's law. And one day you'll have to give an account, and you feel the weight and load of your guilt, and it causes you distress. What will I do before God because of my sin? I tell you, the consequences of sin cause distress. Not only the guilt of sin, but sin can lead to a life that is just wrecked and ruined and in a mess. Sin destroys and it defiles. And it can leave a man so low that, like the prodigal, he just doesn't know what way to turn. And he's distressed at the circumstances sin has brought him to. Are you concerned about what sin is doing to your life? But it not only brings distress in life, it brings distress of soul in death. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And when a soul dies in sin, you know, I've heard it said before. I've heard individuals say this very thing. I have no fear of death. If there is a God, I don't fear to meet Him. It just rolls off their tongue. The Bible says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. I remember ministering in, when we ministered in Stranraer, one of men in the church had a local business and various employees. I remember him telling me the story. There was one particular employee that he had who was extremely godless in his life. The Christian man had endeavored to witness to him on various occasions. He's just no time for it. Don't believe it. No interest. And would have brazenly said, no concern about what might happen after death. The employee, I remember his name. His name was Bob. So one day Bob took a heart attack. Taken to hospital. Seriously ill. Thankfully recovered. The Christian man went to see him afterwards. He said, Bob, what were you thinking? Wasn't one of those heart attacks where the individual just, he's out and the next thing he knows he's in the hospital. He still was conscious. And I couldn't repeat from this pulpit what that individual, that man called Bob, he told the Christian man. I couldn't repeat it verbatim. But I can tell you he confessed that he greatly feared at the thought of dying and going out to meet the Lord. There is a distress that sin causes in life and in death, a natural fear that God has given as a result of sin and a consequence of sin. And my friend, you, if you don't face up to it and feel it in life and get to Jesus to deal with it, I tell you, you'll face it as you face death and go down into the caverns of hell. Here were men and they were in debt. They were distressed at the tyrannical reign of another and they were discontent. And you know, that's so important. Verse 22 says they were discontented at Saul's reign. They'd had enough of it. They wanted something different. They were discontent at the rule in Israel. For Saul had got so far away from God, and instead of going to war and winning the war against the enemies of God, he was persecuting God's servant. There were those in that had enough. They were discontent. And it reminds me that when a man is about to flee from sin and Satan unto God, he realizes his debt to God. He feels discontent in a life of sin, and he distressed at a life of sin, and he is discontent with his life as it is under sin and Satan, and he wants it to change. Have you felt that? Young person, are you discontent in the life that sin is leading you in? You've tried the broken cisterns to get satisfaction in the world and in sin, and you find them empty and void. There's nothing there. Are you discontent in the paths of sin? Do you feel your load and your weight before God? Then come to David's greater son, the Lord Jesus. Leave by repentance the house of Saul and the ways of sin. By faith receive and proclaim Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. And as David received those that were in debt and discontent and distress, so Jesus will receive you. That's the people that sought David, and those are the type of people spiritually that seek Jesus. But can I come secondly and quickly to consider not only the people who sought David, but the place they found David? Verse 1 tells us, David therefore departed thence and escaped to the cave of Adullam. Adullam was to the southwest of Jerusalem, and in a rocky hill, deserted area, there was and is a cave with a small opening that leads through a narrow cavern to a larger area that men tell us would comfortably accommodate up to 1,000 men. David should have been in the palace, but he was in the cave, and that's where they find him. You know, the meaning of the word Adullam is most interesting. I had to do a lot of searching to find it. I couldn't just find the meaning in the ordinary concordance, and I really had to go digging to find the meaning of this word, and there's actually two definitions in the Hebrew lexicons and dictionaries. One definition given by a number of men, I'll not name them for wouldn't mean anything, but one definition given as to the meaning of Adullam is justice or righteousness of the people. Justice or righteousness of the people. There's a second definition There's a well-known Hebrew lexicon by a man named Gesenius. And there he defines the meaning of this word as a hiding place or a place of refuge. Now you put those two definitions together, or with those two definitions in mind, I believe the cave of Adullam speaks of Calvary. You see, David should have been on the throne, or in the palace, coming to the throne, but he was in the cave. The Lord Jesus was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, but he left the throne of heaven and he came to this earth to go to where? To go to Calvary. David eventually came to the throne, but he had to go the way of Adullam. Jesus ascended to the throne and one day will take the throne on earth. But he had to go the way of Calvary. At Calvary, the Lord Jesus, there he went in a state of humiliation to Calvary. To Calvary he went in a state of humiliation and rejection to provide a saving righteousness for the people, the righteousness of the people. And what did Paul say that happened at Calvary? He who knew no sin was made sin. The iniquity of us all was laid upon him. It was a spiritual act. God the Father laid on him the iniquity of us all his people. He who knew no sin was made sin, that in bearing our sin away, we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We who are sinful, we who are in debt to God, we who are distressed by sin, that we might be made righteous before God, accepted as righteous before him. And he has provided a righteousness that will save your soul by his work at Calvary. At Calvary, he has provided a righteousness for the people. But Calvary is a place of refuge from judgment for sin. David found refuge from Saul's persecution and a threat upon his life. And I tell you, at Calvary, sinners find refuge from the judgment of God for their sin. Listen to what Paul said again in Galatians 3 and 13. Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. I tell you, the law condemns you. And because the law has been broken, every one that has broken the law, there's a curse upon them, and it's the judgment of God for the broken law in their life. But Christ is able to redeem you from that curse and from that judgment. Because he was accursed as he hung on the tree. And so whosoever believeth in him is saved from that curse and from that judgment. And it's by the work of Calvary. Oh, in Adullam, I see Calvary. Providing righteousness for the people, a refuge from the judgment of God. And where did these people? Where did they find David? They found him at Adullam. Where will you find righteousness that saves the soul? Where will you find a refuge from the judgment of God? You'll find it in Christ at Calvary. You know, there's one of our members, I'm not going to name him. Doesn't get out too much now. But I bump into him now and again when I visit. Tell me about how he's witnessed to neighbors. And he has this little saying. He'll say to me, you know, I've told him, you've got to get to the cross. You've got to get to Calvary. My friend, that's right. If you're to receive this saving righteousness, if you're to have a refuge for the soul, you've got to get to Calvary. You've got to get there by faith. You've got to meet Christ there at Calvary. In confession of your sin, in calling upon him to be your Savior, you've got to meet him there, the hymn says. Kneel at the cross. Christ will meet you there. My friend, have you knelt at the cross? We come to the final thought tonight, and I'll just mention it briefly as we close. Noted the people that sought David. the place they find David. Notice the position they acknowledged to David. It says in verse 2, he became a captain over them. As you read on in the narrative, as I have said, you will discover that the 400 became 600. David became their general, their commander, their captain. He was the leader of that little army, that little band of men. They were under his command. And if you leave the paths of sin and Satan and come to Christ for righteousness and a refuge to and for your soul, he will receive you. And he will become the captain of your soul. You are voluntarily, in coming to him, you are voluntarily placing yourself under his command, his rule, and his reign. You become a soldier in his army, and he is over you. It's not a case of I'll come to the Lord and I'll tell him how I want to live. I'll tell him how I want to worship. I'll tell him what I want to do. No, he tells you. He'll receive you. He'll take you. He'll save you. He'll give you the righteousness that saves the soul. He'll be your refuge from the judgment that is to come. But he, in doing that, becomes your king. King of my life, I crown thee now. Have you said it? Have you experienced it? You know, the time came when David left a state of humiliation. And with this I'll finish. The time came when David left a state of humiliation. The Lord dealt with Saul. And let me say again to believers, David had the opportunity to take Saul's life and he wouldn't do it. He left him in the hands of the Lord. And in time the Lord dealt with Saul and the Lord took Saul into eternity. And I say to every Christian, you leave your problems and others, and maybe it's even a believer's afflicting you, leave them with the Lord. He'll deal with it. And when Saul died, David came to the throne and he was anointed. He'd been anointed, but he was anointed again. And he sat upon the throne first of Judah and then of all Israel. And he reigned over Israel. And let me say this, those that stood with him and identified with him in his hour of humiliation were those that reigned and ruled with him. And while you might be in the minority in the workplace, in the classroom, in the community, because you identify with Christ and you've trusted in him, and to this day, while the Savior is enthroned in heaven on this earth, he's still despised, he's still rejected. But if you forsake sin and stand with him in faith and repentance, when he comes again and he takes the throne on earth, you will reign righteously and gloriously with him. You will sure in the glories of his reign. You'll enjoy the blessed position that he has and he gives to all who stand with him. Are you numbered among David's greater son, his band of men and women? Are you saved?